Hello and welcome to another episode of Almost Legend. On the show, we look at stories of football or soccer players who were supremely talented as youngsters but went on to have very, very disappointing careers. In this episode, I'm looking at a man whose goal-scoring record at youth level saw him labeled as the next Raul Gonzalez. Yes, there was someone actually labeled with that tag. In the end, the story of Javier Portillo is nothing like that of the Real Madrid legend. You know, wonder kids are fascinating. You know, there's always the next Messi, the next Neymar, the next Ronaldinho, the next Okocha, the next Yobo. There's always a new wonder kid every single year. And it takes just one move, one goal, one tackle, one pass to make a star. In Spain, we've seen Fernando Torres, Iker Muniain, Bojan Krkic, and even Ansu Fati come forward and become superstars in their teenage years. It has always been this way. Always been this way in Spain. Before Morata, before Juan Mata, back in 2001 in Real Madrid, there was a young superstar seemingly destined for greatness named Javier Portillo.
Oh, it's been a joy to be at the best Valen today. It's been wonderful stuff. See down now, edge of the penalty area. Space opening up now, the shot, oh, it's in! Real Madrid have squared it up! You never write them off! And the golden boy of the future, Javier Portillo, who's only been on the field a matter of 60 seconds, has scored the goal that keeps Real Madrid hopes alive in the Champions League. They kept their patience, they have deserved the goal, and they finally found a shot to beat the brilliant Lehmann. Low, right-footed into the bottom corner from Portillo.
A true homegrown talent, Portillo joined the Real Madrid youth setup age 12, and over the next 7 years, he broke all goal-scoring records. I mean, every single goal-scoring record that was at the academy at the time, top scorer, most goals in the game, most goals in the season, most goals, most hat-tricks, every single goal-scoring record you could think of, including those set by the famous Raul Gonzalez. Before long, he was labeled as the heir to the legendary number 7. Now, after impressing through the ranks, scoring more than 150 goals as a youth player, he finally got his chance to play in the first team in 2001. Now, he made just one goal-scoring appearance. Portillo seemed primed for a breakout 2002-2003 season. Now, unfortunately, that summer saw the arrival of Brazilian superstar Ronaldo. Yes, the phenomenon. Multiple Ballon d'Or winner, I won the World Cup final by myself in 2002, the I'm so good, I almost touched Pelé greatness Ronaldo. That guy. While Portillo didn't get many chances to play in the league, he found a lot of joy in the Copa del Rey, scoring 8 goals to finish as the tournament's top scorer that season. Altogether, he scored 14 goals in all competitions that year. Not bad when you're talking about a player that was playing behind Ronaldo and Raul. The next season promised much. It did. 14 goals first season in the first team with a team that had Ronaldo, Raul, the start of the Galactico era, was good. Unfortunately, that was as good as it got for Portillo. Over 30 appearances the next season, he only scored 2 goals. I mean, 2 goals in 30 appearances. What manager kept him this long in that position? 30 appearances, I'm playing you 30 times and you've given me 2 goals. Wow. In 2004, it was clear that his future was far, far away from Real Madrid. So the head coach at the time, Jose Camacho, wasn't impressed with what he saw, and a loan move was arranged, taking Portillo away from Spain to Italy, where he joined Fiorentina. Now that move was a disaster. Imagine moving from a Spanish lifestyle to an Italian lifestyle. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what that feels like, but I know that it is tough for a footballer. He could never adapt to the tactical nature of the league, could never adapt to the defensive side of the team. Featuring just 11 times and scoring once, the loan move would be cut short earlier than planned, and he was back at Real Madrid after 6 months. The move back home did nothing to help Portillo, who rarely featured in the first team, making another loan move not just a possibility, but a necessity. And so in the summer of 2005, he was off, this time to Belgium to join Club Bruges. And so for the first time, this was a move that actually paid off. It worked out, at least on a personal note, for Portillo. Scoring 11 goals in 32 appearances, he finished the season with the award for being the best foreign player in the league. Now, you would expect that Club Bruges would try to make this a permanent deal, and Portillo would see it as a chance to develop an environment that he was never really given. But he declined. Probably he felt that he could now do it at the top level at Real Madrid, given the season he had at Club Bruges. By the time he was back at Real Madrid, Portillo found himself as the eighth choice attacker in the team. That is, you had seven attackers who were ahead of him in the pecking order at Real Madrid. Now, imagine if seven players had to line up in front of Portillo, like just to line up. If seven players had to line up in front of you to make you understand that you were the eighth choice. Yeah, needless to say, he was free to go. And go he did.
Yeah, about 30 seconds of the three allotted minutes of stoppage time remaining. Lovely control. Bought himself 5 yards from Zidane. It's brilliant from the Frenchman. Has it got an end product? Wonderful! Oh! Tremendous goal by Portillo, who had the tap in. But it was all about the approach play from the Mercurial. Zinedine Zidane, world class, 4-1 Real, icing on the cake.
Unbelievable, Kevin, and we're saying now they've taken Ronaldo off, they've taken Raul off, but they've still got Figo, they've still got Zinedine Zidane. Look at the skill and technique there.
Remaining in La Liga, Portillo signed for Gimnastic. God, the name of that team even sounds like relegation. Initially, he failed to find form as the team seemed destined for drop. But at the start of the second half of the season, he hit top gear and scored goals at a regularity that almost saw them survive. Unfortunately, Gimnastic would go down, but not with Portillo, who had shown enough to stay in La Liga. Osasuna would give him that chance in 2009, but he would flop spectacularly at the club. God, listen to this. After 3 goals, wow, what manager keeps a player for this long? He dropped down a division to join Hercules in 2010. Now, at Hercules, his goal drought continued, but just like it was at Gimnastic, he scored vital goals as the team secured promotion to the La Liga. Now, Portillo was back in the big time, back at the top, back in the league that did not accept him for the goal scorer that he was. They didn't even give him the chance to prove that. Unfortunately, while he waited for that chance, he witnessed a case of deja vu as the club signed French striker David Trezeguet to send Portillo back to the bench. Remember, back in 2002, when it looked like Portillo could get his chance in the Real Madrid first team, Real Madrid signed Ronaldo. Now, David Trezeguet was here to send him back to the bench at Hercules. That same season, Hercules would suffer relegation, and Portillo was on the move, this time to join Las Palmas. In what was now becoming a signature campaign, he started poorly, he went on for long periods without scoring before coming alive towards the end of the season. Now, surprisingly, after that season, he terminated his contract to return to Hercules. Not sure why he did that, but his second coming saw him play more often, and he scored more often as well. But he was never really accepted by the fans. There was the rumor, and perhaps this is true, that he was related to the president of the club as a son-in-law, married to the daughter of the president, and perhaps it felt political that he was returning back to the club. However, regardless of all of this, he was relegated to the third tier of Spanish football in 2014. Now, by 2015, Portillo had had enough of the treatment that he was getting from the fans. I mean, he was getting death threats, he was hounded on the streets, he was being hounded in the stadium. You could never watch a game where he played that had no boos, as per people booing him on the pitch. You could never have games where he was cheered on or given an ovation, even when he was scoring. I mean, when he scored, it was probably the best you could get an ovation because the fans would celebrate the goal, but never the player. And so, being tired of what he was getting, the treatment that he was getting from the fans, he announced his retirement in the summer of 2015. Despite having a respectable youth career at international level, Portillo featured on a good number of occasions for the Spanish youth teams, but he never featured for the senior national team. He was never called, which is obvious given the fact that he didn't have a stable club career. And it's a shame because if you think about the fact that when we see players like Portillo who do so well at youth level, scoring goals, breaking records, being recognized as the next big thing, to have a career where you don't even go on to have one international cap is a real shame. And I find it hard to believe that a player with his early potential would fail to have a top-class career. I mean, he was your ideal striker. What would you be looking for in a striker? Gets in the box, scores goals. That was Portillo. As early as 19 years of age, he was doing that. And so he could have easily competed with Fernando Torres, for instance, to be Spain's golden boy in the years, you know, after 2001. When you think about the fact that he broke through the Real Madrid team at the time when the Galactico era was just starting, you know, when the president at the time decided to sign the best players in the world. So you had Zidane, Figo, Ronaldo, Beckham, all coming to Real Madrid at the start of the century from 2000. It's the same period that Portillo could have come into the squad, and perhaps he could have done better at that time if he didn't have this, wasn't that kind of environment, because that's what Raul had. Raul, for me, was lucky that he was given that opportunity to excel in a time before the Galactico era. When you think about that fact, you realize that Portillo's story is just a case of being at the right club, but at the wrong time. Maybe that's what ruined it for him. We will never know. What we do know is that Javier Portillo is an almost legend. And that wraps it up for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show today, you can show your support by commenting and sharing this with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe. You can follow us at Jamit FM on all social media networks for more episodes of this show and other amazing shows as well. Do you know of any other almost legends of the game? Let me know in the comments section and we could talk about them in future episodes. Till next time, see you soon.
Almost Legend is produced by Aikorizu and Owana. Edited, mixed and mastered by Aikorizu. Almost Legend is a production of Jamit Media.